Welcome to our podcast, our new named podcast. It used to be Conversations with Delilah, but now with the new year, we have a whole new image and a new name, and we've changed the name to Love Someone with Delilah, since it's all about love and kindness and changing the world for good. And our guest today is somebody that I met when he was a teenager. And since I met you, you have continued and consistently changed the world for good with your gift and your fans who are insane.
In the best possible ways. Mostly the best possible ways.
Josh Groban.
They take it over the top.
Yeah, they do take it over the top.
Lovely to see
the lady that I met that had you tattooed on her arm.
Yes.
That was unique.
She has a new one. She now has my newer, older bearded face tattooed somewhere else.
What, the big beard?
With the beard. Yeah, I'm not sure how long she chose to do the beard. I think it's somewhere in the middle. But yeah, because that now I've outgrown, my face has outgrown the first young tattoo. So she's had to update it. Get a new one. But she's also like, I found out like she's kind of like a biker. Like she's tough. Like she wears like leather vests and goes biking on her Harley, and she has like all kinds of other like badass tattoos, and then she just has my face.
Your
on her
cute,
as well.
Adorable,
my cute little face when I was like 19
face.
Years old, going hi everybody. Yeah, so I
no,
don't know,
Josh. When
I hope
you were
I'm ruining her street cred, is what it is. Yeah,
Josh, when you were 19 years old, you did not go hi everybody.
Hi everybody.
I went to your first show when
yeah.
you were 19 years
oh,
old.
Oh man,
and you looked like you were 14 years old.
I know, I was a late bloomer.
You were just this tall, adorable kid, and then you open your mouth and out came this voice from heaven.
It was
one of those experiences in my life. There are two people that I saw early in their career mm-hmm. that changed me, I think, on a cellular level. One was Whitney Houston. Mm. I saw her when she was 21.
Oh my gosh, that must have been incredible.
It was unbelievable.
And I look back at old footage of her singing right after when she was singing in church, and she
yep.
was coming right out of the gospel scene.
Yeah, yeah.
That instrument, just as it continued to be.
And she had nothing else when I saw her. She had, you know, a small band playing. She had no choreography, no stage director,
yeah, yeah.
no lighting.
Yeah.
It was just her and that voice.
There's something magic about that time period.
And the same with you. When
well,
I first saw
that's
you,
so kind.
You didn't
Thank
have
you.
A big show. You no. didn't have a big production.
Yep.
But you walked out, Josh, this thin baby face
yeah.
boy, and out came the voice from heaven. Like God gave you such
well
a beautiful gift.
That's so kind of you to say. And I was so lucky, as I continue to be, that you were there. You were right at the beginning of it. And you heard something in me, and you were right there to be a support and a friend from day one. So thank you for
Janie
for,
and I both were just sitting there with our mouth wide open going, are we really hearing what we think we're hearing? Because your voice is so magical.
And the connection between me and Whitney is David Foster, who, you know, we made
yeah.
such incredible music with that great, great guy. And so, I mean, that was a time period. I look back at it. It was so incredible that I was able to have that stage and that platform. But I was terrified. That scrawny, skinny, tall kid was really not all that happy at that time period.
No, you were
because
terrified.
Because I was so scared. And I was, you know, I was plucked from school at that time. When you first came to that concert, that was basically my first time ever touring, ever doing live shows. My voice didn't really come into its own until I was 16, and then David discovered me at 17. So for that time period that you first saw me, I was a student and a pro at the same time. I was basically learning as I went.
But you did a great job.
Well, thanks.
And the same time I met you and discovered your voice, I met your folks.
Yeah.
And I knew you were going to be okay.
They saved me.
I knew
me
you were going to be okay because
so
I was so, honestly, I was so afraid for you.
Yeah.
Because I've seen this industry
yep.
chew people up
oh,
and
yeah.
spit them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I met Whitney. I saw her when she was young mm-hmm. and I saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw your talent, I was so afraid for you.
Well, I was also so naive.
You are so naive.
I was really naive. And I think I look back at it now and I think, well, blissfully so.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know.
But
like,
you were trying to be so tough. You're like, yeah, I'm from California.
Yeah, I'm from LA. Yeah, I've got my new album out. This is my tour. So it's all going good. I'm feeling pretty good about things. Yeah, and inside you're just going, you know, alert, alert. You know, and you know, and I didn't know at that point all the myriad of ways that it could go all terribly wrong. You know,
and it does for so many people because they're not grounded.
That is, but I think the main reason. Yeah, the lack of that grounding.
What I saw in you when I met you was standing right behind you, 4 feet away, were your folks.
Yep.
And your mom. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful lady.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She's so wonderful. And she was like, we're not going to let that happen our son. We are going to make sure that he is looked after and grounded and they're still there.
Absolutely. I'm so lucky that I still have them as a sounding board and as my protectors, and just, you know, to have that balance, to have parents that believe in you that way. And I had an amazing professional team too, but there's only so much that a professional team can do for you big picture when it comes to the emotions you're going through and the decisions that you have to make that might not be the best thing for your professional career, but are the best things for your soul and for your emotional well-being. And having a family that you can bounce those things off to, that gives you the balance that I think when it does go wrong, when people spiral out, it's because they don't have that balance. It's because they don't have people to turn to away from the decision makers they have, good as they may be in the industry. And so, without my parents and my brother too, I've got to give my brother a lot of credit too, because he's my younger brother, but he's like my older brother. He's always been 10 times more mature. He's just got such a great head on his shoulders. He's a brilliant director. He's a behind the camera guy, and he's just so full of wisdom too. So yeah, to have a great family is something that I'm very, 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 very lucky.
And I heard you on the Today Show talking with Kathy and Hoda about the fact that your folks' love story has inspired you in your music and finding that the 99 years forever loved.
Yeah. I can only write from my experiences when I write about myself. And those experiences generally stem from relationships that I'm in, which, you know, I've been in a couple of relationships that have lasted, you know, almost the 3-year mark. But generally, you know, not a lot of people I know have been together as long as my parents have. Like, it's pretty remarkable that they've been together. I mean, 50 years. That's just, they've beaten all the odds. So I might, you know, I might write about new love or a relationship that I'm in, but I'm so inspired by the idea of their journey and the fact that it wasn't always, you know, it wasn't always perfect. That looking for perfection is, I think, something that drives people to a lot of unnecessary pressure. And my parents, I think, didn't know what they were doing for a lot of it, which I think was another key factor in their success, was that they were just diving in and didn't necessarily have a plan. They just went off of love and loving each other. And also just being able to laugh off the small stuff, you know. And
so who has the insanely fabulous sense of humor that you got? Was it both of them or one of the other?
They're both pretty funny. My dad is more of like a Borscht Belt, just kind of very dry, very Groucho Marxy kind of humor.
Now, does he do the stupid dad jokes?
Oh, he does. He invented dad jokes. Yeah, I was born with a dad joke. Like, they slapped my back, and I immediately had a dad joke.
Yeah,
they're going, oh god, this kid's going to be intolerable.
Yeah.
And my mom, is kind of, she's definitely more like the emotional of the two. So she, she's kind of funny.
Does she make excuses for the dad jokes? Does she say, oh, I'm so sorry?
She, you know, she does laugh at them, which is, I think that's the key. I think that one of the reasons they've been together so long is that he can make her laugh and vice versa. I think that that's a big part of it. But my mom, my dad is like, is that kind of witty but brief. My mom will tell a hell of a story and be very funny in the way that she'll talk about a situation that happened or somebody that she met or something like that. And that's where her humor comes through.
Yeah. When I've talked to your mom, she's very self-deprecating.
Oh, very
like
much
she
so.
Does not take herself seriously and she can tell fabulous stories.
Absolutely. And growing up in now being in the music business where everybody is so about taking themselves seriously and, you know, thinking every little story they have is the most important thing that's ever happened. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles. I found myself in show business as a teenager, but both my parents are not showbiz parents. And I think that was the key. They come from education. My mom was an art teacher, a junior high school art teacher in public school in L.A.
You got to be funny to survive junior high school kids.
And she loves working with junior high school students. Even now,
that's just baffling to me.
Which is absolutely.
I taught art for 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Junior high school kids will put me.
Yes.
Over the edge, right over the edge.
Yep. It's because they're testing the boundaries. It's right at puberty. It's everybody wants to be really cool.
Everybody's a poo-poo head.
Everyone's a total poo-poo head. And, but my mom like has like the magic. She can command their attention. And even now, because I've got my arts foundation, Find Your Light, and my mom is a big part of that. She helped me co-create and was on the board. And she'll visit schools and she'll talk to these inner city teenagers. And just, it's amazing how she's able to connect with them and reach them. She's a teacher through and through. And so between that and my dad having started in art, he was a trumpet player and jazz trumpet player in college. He came from a very, very traditional family. And you know, his mom kind of said, that's no way to make a living, you know, go into business.
Yeah.
And so he did. So you know, very grounded folks, which then going into a very not grounded business, I think was essential that I stayed in the real world.
So let's talk about your foundation.
Yeah, sure.
Because you've been doing this for years. And yeah. One of the things that I love about the school my kids go to is they have, and the little town that I live in, has an amazing choral program.
Oh, yeah.
My son, Zach, that I told you that passed, we started something called the Zachariah Fund.
Wonderful.
Where we raise money for kids who want to be in the choral program but can't buy the suit, the uniform.
Right, right.
You know, the boys have suits, the girls have black dresses. Mm-hmm. And they're not expensive, but if you're on a fixed income, they're expensive. And so choral trips, our choral teacher, Mr. Allen, is a father figure to so many kids in our community.
Yeah.
And he really brings out the best in kids.
Yeah.
And
it's so important because it's a tool. You know, I think that the misconception when it's argued about and talked about in schools is that it's a soft subject, that it's an extracurricular, that it's a drum circle just to fill time, macaroni necklaces, that kind of thing. And, you know, and it is as essential as any of the major categories of education. And I say that without even a shred of doubt, because I've seen it in action. I've seen it used in schools where it's not about becoming a professional singer or whatever. I mean, if that happens, it opened up a world of possibility for me. It gave me blinders. It gave me the bug. But what I've seen more so, and especially in inner city communities and places where I was very lucky, but so many kids who don't have the parental system at home that keeps them where they need to be, that doesn't have the opportunity to go out and see shows and be part of camps and stuff like I was part of, that's their open door to express themselves and to build leadership skills. And their grades go up, the graduation rates go up, their home life goes up, their parents are coming to see them in their school plays, and they've had previously nothing to talk about at home. And suddenly they're going and they're saying, oh my God, I had no idea my son or my daughter was this good a dancer, wanted to be an Annie or whatever it is. And they're cheering in the audience. And for a lot of families, that's a very special connection and source of pride that they hadn't had previously.
And it's life.
It's life. It's empathy. Life. And in this ever-divided world that we're in, where everything is being shouted from the rooftops about how scared we should be of each other and suspicious and fearful, the arts are one of the few languages we have left that are as that universal, that teach us about each other's common denominators and what brings us together as a unity, but also celebrates our differences.
I have a daughter who's 14, blessing, and she played sports for the first time this year. And it was so much fun to go see her. But it was weird for me because for the last 10, 15 years, the kids that I've been parenting were all into the arts.
Yeah.
Drama, music,
choir,
choral. The elite choir program.
And they're so lucky to have had you, too, to introduce them. Yeah. But I think sports can do the same thing, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was so similar but so different. Mm-hmm. you know, when I'm used to curling the girl's hair for the madrigal feast
yeah.
and finding a boar's head, you know, that they can bring in because sure. every year they have a real boar's head at
oh,
the madrigal feast.
Oh, yeah. That's gnarly.
It's their biggest fundraiser cool. and the most amazing two weekends uh-huh. of the high school's music program
yep.
to go from that to the basketball court.
Yep. Yep.
But the relationships that my daughter formed with the other girls that she played with, I saw the same sort of glue
mm-hmm.
that held the team together,
yep.
that held Zach's choir together mm-hmm. and Shayla's choir together mm-hmm. and Bridget's choir together and the plays together. And what people need to understand, and I try to express this on the show, is life, if you don't have love, if you don't have relationships, if you don't have community, you are going to end up in trouble.
Mm.
Kids are going to end up in gangs if they don't have family, if they don't have community.
Yeah.
And what you're doing by supporting the arts is giving them that family, that community, that glue to help them care about someone else.
Yeah. Well, it's
when you care yeah. about the show, when you care about yeah. the performance, when you care about the choir, that gives you skills to change the world.
And purpose. And it gives you
empathy.
And it gives you a voice that for the first time in these young people's lives, they feel really matters, that they really can do something. There's so much noise out there and there's so much negativity, especially now with social media and all the ways that kids can be anonymously bullied and made to feel so small. The arts and sports too. I really do feel that athletics are vitally important as well. Give young people the chance to choose the right side of the fence when they're on the fence, because you're right. It's there are too many temptations out there to find validation in their lives when there is a void, to find it in unhealthy ways, and the arts gives them a healthy outlet. And in that way, I don't think it's overstating that it's helping to save future generations and change the course of the world through the leadership and empathy of those generations.
So my foundation, Point Hope, we mm-hmm. work with foster kids. And the statistics, Josh, for foster kids in America is stomach-turning.
Yeah, I know.
487,000 kids right now in foster care. Mm. Last year, 2018, 19,987 kids aged out. With no parents, no family, no hope. And so what we try to do is encourage people to adopt children who are in foster care and legally free and support kids who are in foster care. We got to figure out how to team up.
Yes, anytime.
So that we can use
Absolutely.
Your
yeah.
platform for arts
yep.
to help kids who don't have permanency,
yes.
who don't have a forever
yes.
family.
Who need that so desperately.
Exactly. Yeah. Find that hope and joy.
Yeah.
And I can't sing a note. You know that. You've heard me.
I don't. I've actually had a theory that in the shower, in your car.
Oh, I sing really loud. The fact that I can't sing doesn't stop me from singing.
Well, you've got such a glorious speaking voice that I kind of feel like people who have incredible speaking voices
should be
yes.
able to sing, dang it.
Well, yeah.
It's
yes.
so not fair, but God gave me a 3-note range. You know, so long as I'm speaking in my range. But,
and I can't stand my speaking voice, so I'll get on the mic and I'll go, hi, how are you guys? I'm Ron Carlin. Nice to see you. How is that happening? Let's trade.
But when I was in school, I was in plays.
Okay, yeah,
I
me
didn't
too.
Get
yeah.
to do the musical. I didn't get to be Cinderella.
Sure.
All right.
I didn't get a singing role in my first musical either.
Really?
Yeah, I was Mr. Scheinkopf in Fame. I was the German math teacher, music teacher. And I didn't get a singing role.
Well, I got to sing along with Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
Well, that's
but,
fun.
You know, there was like 30 other people
yeah.
singing.
Sure.
But that was my home.
Yep.
That was my stage.
Yep.
And my brother, I had a brother, Matt, who's left to be in heaven years ago. But Matt and I were in every play together. And our friends were the same friends. And we always hosted the after the play party at
yeah.
our house.
Yeah.
And I have so many amazing memories
yeah.
from that.
They stick with you.
They stick with you for life, and they're the building blocks of your future relationships.
Absolutely, and those friendships last forever too. Whenever I've been there's nothing like being in a production with somebody that really just connects you emotionally for life. You've been through it. You've learned the lines together. You've been through the boot camp of doing a show. And that's, I think, one of the great things about being young and doing theater is it teaches you discipline. It teaches you, you know, selflessness when it comes to making sure the whole show, you're a cog in a wheel. It's
exactly.
not just about you. And I think that connectivity is so important, too. And from a social aspect, I made friends because of the arts. That's another thing, is I didn't feel as lonely when I was a kid because I was shy. I wasn't going to go up and make friends by myself. It was being part of a show, sometimes being forced through the assignment to interact with kids on an artistic level. You learn about each other. You become friends with each other.
So how can somebody partner with you and get involved?
Well, we, in a number of different ways, we have a website. Anybody can go to Find Your Light, findyourlightfoundation.org. The name of the foundation is Find Your Light. And they can learn about us. They can donate off the website. And through the website, if you're a program who also needs help, you can reach out to us. We take grant requests. We are always looking for new places to team up with to funnel our donations into to become a Find Your Light program. We kind of like to be a part of many different organizations' success. And then, you know, we're doing our fourth gala this year, you know, and it's incredible. I've been able to call on my friends who've been right there, people like Adina Menzel, who has her own Broaderway Foundation, people like Joshua Bell, who's done incredible things with education through music. This year, we're honoring Tony Bennett, you know, who's he and his wife have just done incredible things. So, you know, we've had the honor of being able to include artists and friends that share our vision, that we all team up together for the same purpose, that there is no competition with these kinds of things. And that's one of the fun things about Find Your Light. As an umbrella organization, we're out there to help make sure that those programs in school and after school don't get lost in the shuffle, don't fall through the cracks as the funds are being cut at record speed.
Unbelievably.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It is a shame. It's criminal.
Yeah, it's criminal.
And when you were earlier talking about the fact that when kids are involved in music or plays or the arts.
Yeah.
I mean, I love pottery. I love painting. I love drawing.
Cool.
I have a son, TK, who's 18. And before I adopted him, he had a traumatic brain injury that went undiagnosed for years. We didn't know. We didn't have the records. Mm. But he has found his home on the potter's wheel in the art room at their school.
It's a focuser.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And he's turning out these beautiful creations and bowls.
Sure.
But more than that, he started mentoring the younger kids.
Oh, that's great.
And teaching them. Yeah. And it's really given him an outlet for his love.
He has a path. He has a purpose.
And he's so talented.
And he's now reaching those kids and passing on that purpose. And it gives. And that's the incredible thing about arts education is that what you receive from it, you then have a million opportunities to give back to the next person. And it just continues. We also did a really cool thing. You like wine. Do you drink?
I don't.
You don't drink?
I don't.
I drink.
I know you took your folks to wine country.
That's true. I took them to wine country.
The last time I drank wine, it was strawberry, Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill with cracked ice.
That's why you stopped.
Yeah.
That'll do it. That's a hangover. That would make anybody stone cold sober for the rest of their lives. Key.
Oh, boy.
But we teamed up with a wonderful guy named Ross Halleck, who is both an award-winning Pinot maker and also an arts fan. And he reached out to us and he said, hey, love what you guys are doing. We have a whole lot of wine that we've made that is ready to go. And we want to make it the Find Your Light wine. And we're going to give every dollar of profits to Find Your Light. And we've done that now for 4 years. And since I'm such a wine lover, he said, for the next couple of vintages, come over and blend with us. So I got to learn all about tasting. I got to drink out of the barrels and just learn about what all the different vines can do and all the different types of oak can do to a blend. So now these bottles that we're selling for the foundation are just absolutely delicious and really personal because we've had our own personal touch into them too. And
have you ever read the book The Secret of the Vine?
No. I've heard about this.
That's thick. I mean, it's a 1 hour reading.
Yeah.
Blow your mind.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not a wine drinker, but that book made me want to
it's fascinating.
Learn about wine.
Yeah, and I'm not a heavy drinker by any stretch, but I love I love learning about the creation of wine. And like you said, whether you drink or not, it's the fun to learn about the horticulture, the what goes into it, what proprietors do and winemakers do to make that happen. You know, it's pretty stunning to do.
Well, I have vines on my farm that are over 100 years old. I have two sets of grapevines that I have excavated off old properties and brought to my farm and planted probably, I don't know, a couple hundred plants that are 120, 130 years old.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. A trick I learned from the Mondavi family, they have, I'm sorry to name drop, they had me over for a barbecue once, and they grilled over their old vines, the old vines that they weren't using anymore, really old vines, they used as wood under the grill
to
grill with.
Was...
And it gave the meat a really cool texture and flavor. And so that's a little, if you're into vines, that's a cool grilling tip.
I clip them, I groom them, I prune them. I have beautiful harvests.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to make wine.
Well, I mean, me neither. That's why I teamed up with Ross.
I'll call you and I'll say, okay,
yeah,
Josh Groban, here I got umpteen bushels of these beautiful grapes. Tell
there
me
you
to
go.
Do with them. You
there
know what
you
I
go.
Do with them? I juice them and I freeze it. And then when I make my health, I blend a health drink every morning.
Yeah.
I use
they're
frozen
delicious.
Grape juice.
They're delicious. Just the non-boozy wine grapes are just awesome. Just juice them or eat them off, eat them off the vine. But anyway, no, this wine is delicious. If people want to go, if people want to check it out, they can go to my website and get it. It all goes to charity, and we've got some 2015s left, which are awesome.
Very sweet. Yeah. And your tour is going to be announced when?
We've just announced the new dates. I'm going to be going out at the beginning of summer. We're going to be doing a bunch of arenas again, and then we're going to do some great outdoor venues as well, places like Red Rocks and Santa Barbara Bowl, Wolf Trap, Ravinia, some of these classic Tanglewood. I mean, speaking of arts, I'm going to be going back to Interlaken, where I went to arts camp, and we're going to play the outdoor amphitheater that I would see shows at when I was a kid.
Oh, that
and
is
so
very cool.
I wear my camp pin when I go back on that stage, and just looking out at all the kids in their uniforms that I remember sitting in those seats. That's always really, really special. But the arena shows are going to be fun because half of them are going to be with my friend Jennifer Nettles. We sang this morning on the Today Show. And then half 99 years. We're going to be singing that song.
Oh, beautiful.
And more. Thank you so much. And then Chris Bode, my friend Chris Bode, the wonderful trumpet player.
Love Chris.
Yeah, he's going to join me on the second half of the shows, and we're going to do.
You know who loves Chris? His producer Janie loves Chris.
Oh, well.
Ha ha ha.
Chris is. It's impossible
sharp-dressed man.
Not to be in the mood with his music and his playing, and just he's a very sharp-dressed guy.
Sharp-dressed man. Yeah. Talented.
Yeah, we all have to spruce it up a little bit when Chris is on deck. We're going, Chris is coming on tour? Okay, all right.
Okay, great.
Press the suits.
Yeah, break out the slacks.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, thank you for spending time with me.
It's
thank
always
you for
an
being
absolute
awesome.
Privilege to be with you and to talk to you and to share a couple of microphones with you. You're an absolute absolute treasure, and I can't thank you enough for the years of support and friendship.
Love you, John.
You too.
God bless.
Slow down and love someone with delight.